Tonight, MPP majority in Parliament piles pressure on Speaker of Parliament to immediately recall the House from its indefinite adjournment hours after the Supreme Court declared as unconstitutional the Speaker's decision to declare some 4 seats vacant.
The Speaker Babin has absolutely no choice now to comply. Tell Ato and his followers to move back to where they originated. We expect that to be done without fail.
We expect our colleagues on the other side, including Mr. Speaker, to respect the outcome of this case.
It will result in a degeneration of our society and a destruction of our democratic order for anybody at all to refuse to comply with orders of the Supreme Court.
Tonight we'll hear from a former acting Chief Justice, William Atuguba, who insists this case should have gone to the High Court and not the Supreme Court.
We would have said that they were wrong in coming straight to the Supreme Court, whereas the specific jurisdiction about this specific matter is lodged in the High Court.
And Top Story is always brought to you by Telecel, connecting energies and holy insecticide spray and coil. Enjoy a holy sleep. Tonight, the MPP majority in Parliament is piling pressure on the Speaker to immediately recall the House from its indefinite adjournment hours after the Supreme Court declared as unconstitutional the Speaker's decision to declare some 4 seats vacant. The court, by a 5-2 majority decision, ruled to overturn the Speaker's decision on the seats, with a full reasoned ruling of the court expected to be published on Wednesday. More on the statement from Afenyo Marking, the majority leader, pretty shortly, but first listen to this very brief ruling of the court delivered by the Chief Justice herself, Gertrude Tokunu.
By court, in a majority decision of 5-2, Lovelace Johnson JSC and Amadou Tanko JSC dissenting on the issue of jurisdiction, the plaintiff's action succeeds. The full reasons and orders of the court shall be filed with the registrar by close of day tomorrow, 13th November 2024. This is the judgment of the court.
So you're waiting to see the full reasoned judgment, but let's get into this very interesting but controversial decision delivered by the Supreme Court today. And Kwaku, what's in court for us? Who were these judges who sat on this case? But I'm interested in the two judges who dissented.
So 5-member panel presided by the Chief Justice herself, who you just heard. There was Justice Mariam Owusu, Justice Kwame Isiedu Adibu, Justice Yao Dakunasare, and Justice Ernest Gayewu, as well as Justice Amadou Tanko and Justice Avril Lovelace Johnson. The 5 members who have actually been hearing all the interlocutory matter, that is the court that actually granted the stay of execution, they are the ones in majority who are ruling that Alexander Afenyo Markin's action before the court must succeed. That is the Chief Justice herself, Mariam Owusu, Kwame Isiedu, Yao Dakunasare, and then Yao Gayewu Ernest. And then the dissenting judges are Justice Amadou Tanko and Justice Avril Johnson. The initial panel that heard all the interlocutory matters were 5, and then these two judges were added to actually get the 7-member panel that the Supreme Court, the Constitution says, must hear constitutional matters. These two judges who were added are the ones who dissented on the basis that the court did not have jurisdiction to go into the matters ever.
I see. I want to hear what the Attorney General has been saying. We know he's been front and center of this. There's a sense there that I get when I listened to him earlier today that he warns the Speaker to act, but act swiftly on the back of this judgment to recall Parliament?
Yes, according to the Attorney General, there is absolutely no time. The Speaker of Parliament can disagree with the court, but he expects that despite that disagreement, given that this was, in his words, an emphatic 5-2 win, the Speaker will comply with the orders of the Supreme Court.
The only thing anybody has to do is to respect the court decision. That is the mark of a civilized democratic order. It leaves no room for any argument whatsoever. And the majority decision, very big majority, clear majority, 5-2. It's not as if it was a narrow majority, 3-4 or 4-3, that anyone can say, well, there's some room for kind of review or anything at all. But the point I'm making is that whenever the court speaks, it's such a clear and emphatic order. even if it's a very narrow majority, that's a decision of the court, and that decision must be respected. And I'm saying that it results in a degeneration of our society and a destruction of our democratic order for anybody at all to refuse to comply with the order of the Supreme Court. And I think that's non-negotiable. It's something that we must all respect. I have heard some statements by certain political actors to the effect that the case ought to be withdrawn and that there ought to be negotiation and all that. I'm quite surprised, because indeed, firstly, I did not hear such expression of a willingness to negotiate and all, or maybe such instruction to the speaker or direction suggesting to the speaker for negotiation and all, when the speaker started embarking on this act. And I think that, for me, it's very important that the Supreme Court ruled upon this matter, because it is something that had been occurring in this country. The tendency for it to occur really was there. The tendency for it to occur again was there. It was necessary that the Supreme Court came to this clear conclusion and determination of the matter, the meaning of Article 97, Clause 1, paragraphs G and H. And I think we must all respect it.
And if you pay attention to the Attorney General there, he delivers this thinly veiled jab at former President John Dramani Mahama, who recently on a campaign trail, when he met the clergy, I suggested that if he were the president today, he would have asked Nathaniel Markin to withdraw the case from the Supreme Court so he can supervise and superintend over mediation between the Chief Justice herself, the courts, and obviously the Parliament, but also among members of Parliament on both sides on the matter. So that's the position of the Attorney General. But there are other members of the MPP side in Parliament who are less charitable. Katie Hammond was one of them. He went pretty hard at the Speaker of Parliament.
Yes, according to Katie Hammond, the Speaker of Parliament has shown dictatorial tendencies, and he expects him to, as the Speaker has said, a respecter of the supremacy of the Constitution, to comply with what the court has said. He does not give any room at all for the Speaker to wriggle out.
The Speaker of Parliament is supposed to be the custodian, of the Constitution. This man decides that he would not respect the Constitution. Not only that, he would not respect the apex court of the land. It's outlandish. I haven't seen anything like that in my life. And I heard this argument. He respects the supremacy of the Constitution, but he doesn't respect the supremacy of the Supreme Court. What does it mean?
So
that is what somebody is saying. What do I have against Babin? My very good friend. Everybody accepts. I mean, he's a class prophet. You all know that. But the point is that I do not agree that a person of his caliber would not respect the ruling of the Supreme Court. Now it has been very crystally put by the Supreme Court. The motion, the writ filed by majority leader of the House has succeeded. The Speaker Babin has absolutely no choice now to comply. Tell Ato and his followers to move back to where they originated, onto our seat. We expect that to be done without fail. That's how simple this matter has become. Babin must learn to respect the authority of the Supreme Court. What's up?
And that's Katie Hammond's position. Yes. It's reflected by the leader himself on your marking.
Yes, he throws two messages. First, to the Speaker of Parliament. He says the Speaker must comply, but also he must tell the NDC MPs that it is not their sitting place to be at the right-hand side of the Speaker. They must go to the left-hand side and let business in Parliament proceed.
We can only thank God, and also it's a moment for all of us to rally around the choice we made in 1992, democracy. Democracy requires decency. And that is the path the MPP majority caucus took to ensure that we do right to the law. Nothing more, except to say that we expect our colleagues on the other side, including Mr. Speaker, to respect the outcome of this case so that we move on as a nation. All we have is the peace of the country. All we have is our democracy. And in West Africa and in Africa as a whole, Ghana shines in the eyes of the people in terms of democracy. So This is another feat we have achieved, and we must celebrate it. It's not a matter of MPP against NDC. It's a matter of constitutional, interpretation. And the court has given its verdict. We should all respect it and move on. Thank you very much. I think
do you expect the speaker to recall parliament on its own volition, given this emphatic?
Let the lawyers deal with the issues of law. I think that all we want is peace in the country, and we chose peace, and today we've achieved peace.
So he didn't want to be emphatic when you were asking that question earlier, but there's a statement out subsequent to this interview where he's more categorical what he wants out of this.
Well, yes, he says, "To the Right Honourable Speaker, I reaffirm my utmost respect for your office and your distinguished service to our nation. This judicial interpretation of the Constitution should strengthen the democracy of the country." And then he says, "I respectfully look forward to your exercise of your authority to reconvene Parliament so that together we may resume our sacred duty to the people of Ghana. And as we return to our legislative duties as soon as possible, let us remember that we are first and foremost servants of the people. And we know that since the Speaker declared they actually proceeded to adjourn the House indefinitely, signatures have been gathered. And in the next few days, if they don't hear from the Speaker of Parliament, they're going to trigger Article 1123 of the Constitution."
Nkuku, thank you very much. And guess who else has been weighing in today exclusively, shortly after the Supreme Court delivered that controversial judgment? Justice William Atuguba is a former Supreme Court judge. One time he was acting Chief Justice himself. He's been criticizing the Supreme Court for overstepping its bounds. Listen.
"The same Constitution is not unaware of Article 130, clauses 1 and 2. It's not unaware of Article 2, which on their surface have given exclusive views about interpretation and enforcement.
Mm.
But they've gone nonetheless to make this specific provision. Now, we have a certain maxim of interpretation of statutes which says verba generalia, specialibus non derogant."
Mm.
"As a special provisions, special matters, I mean general matters, general words do not override special words. So if you have a general provision which standing by itself will also encompass the jurisdiction given to a lower court, because verba generalia, specialibus non derogant, the general powers will be confined to the area which will not intrude into the special power of the special provision. So Articles 130 and 2, these are general provisions. And according to this rule, general provisions don't override specific provisions. And so once the specific power about vacancy of seats is given to the High Court, the general powers hanging there cannot override the special provision. Otherwise, that special provision will be rendered completely hopeless."
Meaning the court, the Supreme Court had no business going into this.
They have a kind of, what do you call it, referential jurisdiction. That's to say, this matter, which is a vacancy of parliamentary seat matter, is for the High Court. However, if the parties there contend that some legal provision relating to this matter is ambiguous and is a constitutional provision, then at 132 requires that the High Court will stay the provisions and refer just that issue of interpretation to the Supreme Court. They went straight. And you see, the question of even the referral, when the issue arises, it doesn't mean that any time it's alleged that there's an issue for the interpretation, High Court automatically must state it will have to consider whether the provision in question is actually ambiguous.
So, if this case was brought before you,
yes,
your inclination would have been that the matter should go to the High Court.
Yes, which would have said that they were wrong in coming straight to the Supreme Court, whereas the specific jurisdiction about this specific matter is lodged in the High Court.
So why would the current Supreme Court panel overlook this and then go ahead to make this pronouncement?
Well,
why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. And now during our Black Friday sale, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed. Plus special financing. Limited time. To find a store near you, visit sleepnumber.com.
Our decisions, I don't know whether they were cited to them. If they had gone by those decisions that are seen quite clearly, that they should have said no. A finger marking was wrong to have come in the first place directly to them. They would have said that.
Well, there's a lot to unpack for you. Let's do that now. I want to be speaking right now to Frank Davis, who's the chairman of the Constitutional and Legal Committee of the MPP. Also joining me is Ibrahim Mutala Mohammed, is the MP for Tamale Central. Martin Kwebu is a private legal practitioner, also joins me on the line right now. I want to go to the MP pretty shortly, right now, in fact, Ibrahim Mutala Mohammed. So you've heard both the majority leader, the Attorney General, but also Katie Hammond say, next time Parliament is recalled, he expects the minority side, your side, to return to your seats and leave their seats for them on the majority side of the House. On the back of this judgment, that will happen. You will sit in your minority seats, won't you?
I'm not too sure whether the Supreme Court ruling was on where the MPP is. Maybe I need to be educated. I'm not too sure whether the ruling was about where each of the caucuses sits in the parliament.
The ruling wasn't about that, but the effect of the ruling is that minority.
I'm saying that I'm not too sure whether that was what the ruling was. In any case, I heard Honorable Finger Martin saying that they are for peace, that decency, you know, and respect to the constitution. Listen to those who are talking about decency. The vulture with which he attacked the speaker and also the KT Hammond, you played them on your station. Today, he's pretending that he has so much respect for the speaker. And I guess he would have played the other things when he went ballistic on the speaker. In any case, look at those who are talking about decency and governance and protection of the constitution. They commandeered armed military men into the chamber. Armed military men into the chamber. They should be the last people who should be talking about decency and protection of the constitution. Why did they commandeer armed military men into the chamber when they elected the speaker?
When he talks about decency, though, he was asking the Speaker of Parliament to instruct your side to sit in the minority side of the House. Isn't that fair on the back of the judgment today?
No, even let me make this point. In fact, you played about two tapes of MPP members of Parliament, and you're asking me a question. I think it is fair. You let me respond at least to one of the statements you all made. And that is precisely what I am doing. We were defending the Constitution and decency. The Constitution and the standing orders all say that in the election of the Speaker, the voting must be through a secret ballot. That is what we were defending. And those who are not, who are now in the quest to violate the Constitution and the standing orders. And when we refused to allow them to do what they wanted to do, they commandeered armed military men into the chamber. They should be the last group of persons who will be talking about decency and governance and the need to protect the Constitution of the Republic of Ghana. But in any case, all of us, LDC members of constituencies, our focus now is how we can predict this election. After they succeeded in causing financial loss, and when the speaker did not do any wrong, they went and attacked him and insulted him, mentioned him, called him all sorts of names. Today, They are not talking about decency. And in any case...
Yeah, let's return. You've spoken a lot about the decency comment, but let's return to the actual implications of this. This is just on the back of a Supreme Court judgment, which says that the decision by the Speaker to declare those four seats vacant, which armed you with the, of course, what you believe to be the authority to declare yourself the majority side, which really caused a controversy, that now has been reversed completely. You return to the minority side, and I'm asking you, because that is really the implication of this judgment, will you be sitting in your seat when Parliament recalled?
You have a majority party in Parliament.
Well, the MPP side is a majority side in Parliament.
Why are they majority?
Because they are 137, and they have the independent candidate on your side. They've always been.
Is the independent member a member of the MPP?
I mean, it's not even a debate, is it? I mean, Afonso Makin has always been the majority leader, and there's a reason for that. He's been addressed as such by the Speaker.
Speaker, in his ruling, when we had this problem, the independent member of Parliament agreed to sit and voting with them. It doesn't make him a member of the NPP.
I mean, that's a matter I don't want to really dig in, because it happened almost 4 years ago. I'm talking about what happened right now. And before all this happened, this controversy around vacant seats, Afonso Makin was the majority leader. Case Lato Forcing was the minority leader. So this was a settled matter. Of course, the last few weeks had thrown in a bit of a confusion there. You sat in the side of the majority. I'm asking you whether you return now to your side.
Evans, I'm asking whether by the Constitution and the standard orders and by what we have in Parliament, do you have a party that has more members of the other political party in Parliament?
Well, that's
do you have that in Parliament?
That's not a subject that is up for debate now, is it? Because it's settled.
Exactly.
I mean, your side,
more reason.
Your side
the
is in a minority.
Why we agreed to sit, and is there a constitutional provision that says the majority sits on the right, minority sits on the left? Is there anywhere in the Constitution that says that?
Okay, so for clarity, do I hear you say, as far as you're concerned, nothing has changed? If Parliament was recalled today, you will still sit in the majority seats?
Don't give interpretations or put words in my mouth. I have just asked you a simple question. You said the MPP is the majority, and I'm asking you, by the numbers we have, do we have a party that has majority seats in Parliament? The answer is big no. Independent member of Parliament agreed to sit and in voting with MPP, it doesn't make him a member of the MPP.
Well, my question is a simple one. I really am not interested in going into the debate around who is minority majority, except to go to the implications of this. First, do you expect the Speaker to recall Parliament immediately, as your opposite side is calling for on the back of the judgment?
You're asking whether
you expect the Speaker to recall Parliament immediately?
Evans, that is a decision that the leadership of our caucus and the party will take. And when we get to the bridge, we will cross.
I'm grateful, Ibrahim Mutala. Thank you very much, MP for Tamale Central. Let me bring in the two lawyers into the conversation now, Martin Kpebu and Frank Davis. Mr. Davis, I want to start by putting to you something that Justice William Atukuba just told us exclusively on the back of the judgment delivered by the Supreme Court. He says the Supreme Court was wrong to even entertain Afonso Makin's case in the first place, because he should not have gone to the Supreme Court as his first forum. He should have gone through the High Court. And the High Court, if the High Court had determined that there's a matter of interpretation, then they would have sent it up to the Supreme Court. Do you agree with that position?
Good evening to your esteemed and cherished viewers. In the first place, we have just been handed a judgment this morning. The justices. The Chief Justice intimated that the full reasoning for the judgment would be available by the close of business today. So as I sit, I don't have the benefit of the reasoned judgment. I can only talk on the pronouncements that were made. So that is the first point for you to know. I mean, secondly, Justice William Atukuba, very, very respected former justice of the Supreme Court, acted so many times as Chief Justice. I would rather, with a great deal of respect to him, I would rather that in the best tradition and dictate of the bench, of which he was once president and acting Chief Justice, the Supreme Court have handed a judgment, a 5-2 majority. Two of the justices have dissented and have said that the proper forum should have been the Supreme Court, the High Court. Five justices of the Supreme Court have also held that the proper forum should be the Supreme Court. I would have wished that at least Mr. Justice William Atububa would wait for the reasoned judgment before coming up with this pronouncement. You see, it doesn't do our justice system any good. Of late, every matter concerning the Supreme Court, he comes to speak. He was a former justice of that bench. And I find it worrying. Honestly, I find it very worrying. I respect him a lot. And I find it very worrying. In any event. I am at a loss. Why Mr. Justice William Atububa is not commenting on why the Speaker failed to file any statement of case before the Supreme Court?
But isn't he entitled not to defend himself if he so chooses?
Please. There's nothing like he being entitled not to defend himself. There's nothing like that.
But there is. I mean, I heard the Attorney General argue forcefully that he shouldn't even be joined to this case, that he has no business being part of this case because it's the Attorney General who must be representing the Parliament. That was made before the judges, before the Supreme Court.
The Supreme Court did not accede to that.
Oh, so you disagree with that position accessory by the Attorney General?
I said the learned Attorney General said so, but the Supreme Court did not accede to that. That was why Kadir Sori, who was lawyer for the Speaker, was ordered by the court to file his written submissions and memorandum of issues.
So you disagree with the AG on that then?
I'm not disagreeing with anybody. I'm saying that the Chief Justice, the bench of the Supreme Court, did not accede to that submission by the Leonard Tengela. That is why the court ordered that Tadio Sori, who was at all material times lawyer for the Speaker, should file his statement of case and memorandum of issues. So don't let that even go into whether I agree with the Leonard Tengela or not. It is a moot point. It does not really matter. All I'm saying is that if, at the end of the day, Tadio Sori or the Speaker was of the opinion that they had nothing to stay before the court, I would have thought, that as participants of that court, Tadio Sori goes to the Supreme Court always. Even a courtesy of a letter or something to the court that we do not intend to file our written statement of case or the memorandum of issues, that would have been the case. That would have been perfect. You go to a court, the court grants you a favor. Because on that day, if you are listening to it, the court wanted to give his judgment on a Friday. And the court took into consideration a number of days that the Speaker had to respond. And they were given a return date. So if for one reason or the other, my good friend Tadio Sori had not been instructed at that stage by his client to file a statement of case, I would have thought that in the same way that the Speaker wrote a letter and added the positions of the court and returned those letters, those positions to the court, he would have done the same thing by communicating that I don't intend to be a party in this matter. I don't intend to file a statement of case. Then the case can proceed. You see, the matter that is being canvassed as to whether it's the High Court which has jurisdiction or is the Supreme Court which the matter should have gone. It was that point which would have been canvassed by the Speaker. Okay? The Attorney General has always sided with the plaintiff on this matter. There is no denying the fact that the Attorney General has agreed with the position taken by the plaintiff. So the alternative had to come from the first defendant, who was the Speaker.
So you think they shot themselves in the foot by not...
Absolutely.
Okay. Stay with me. I have your colleague, Martin Kpebonela. Let me give him a word on this. Martin, you agree with him or you side with William Atububa?
Let me see. My own independent thinking on it is this. Yes, Justice Atububa, I partly agree with him, okay, and then also recognize that by jurisprudence, this was the first time that a citizen has gone straight to the Supreme Court. So I don't want to pretend that this has never happened. So that's my challenge. So it's good I say yes. What Justice Atiba is saying is correct. I agree with him, except that there are also other cases. I don't know whether we can call those other cases exceptions. So look at Jackie Quason's case. You remember they were in the High Court, Court of Appeal. Then, fortunately, they say, well, the word is not fortunately. Coincidentally, Frank Davis, you just interview now, started a case in the Supreme Court. So the same argument came that, why is he starting in the Supreme Court? Yet it went through. And that case wasn't actually the first time. So there are other examples. So that's how come I'll say, yes, what Justice Atiba is saying is right. But there have also been other cases that don't follow that rule. So you see why every day, when I say every day, it means each time this topic is raised, that's the vacation of the 40, it comes down to the people we've chosen as Supreme Court judges. The president chooses people who think like him, people who have the same jurisprudential and philosophical views as him, okay? So that on occasions like this, they would do the way he would have done it. And so that's how come this one. So we should be blaming the Constitution, the architecture of the Constitution. This our Constitution is bad. We have to take away the powers of the president to nominate Supreme Court judges to Parliament, the powers of the president to appoint the Chief Justice in consultation with Council of State, blah, blah, blah. That's what we need to do to get through separation of powers. That as for what the judges have done, like I said, we have different philosophical schools in the law, right? And different ways of interpreting the Constitution. So what the judges have done is one school of thought. So those of us who are disagreeing belong to another school. So once we have those differences, then we see that, so what has caused this problem? Then it means that let's look at the appointment. A president will appoint his friends, family and friends, people he's comfortable with. So let's take away that power. Because right now, the way our constitution is designed, it's like buy one, get one free. Buy one, get one free. What I mean is that you buy the executive, that you campaign to become president, then you get to control the judiciary. Let's do away with that system. Let's reconstitute the judicial council. Take away the four nominees of the president. Take away people from the armed forces because their commander-in-chief is the president. So somebody coming from the armed forces, his commander-in-chief is the president. So when he's on the judicial council, he's looking to the president. What is my commander-in-chief saying?
Yeah, I mean, and those are sweeping, I guess, constitutional changes that must happen. But immediately, though, what is the immediate implication of this particular judgment on the controversy and the impasse we've seen in Parliament?
I expect that the speaker will dig in his heels. That is to say, they will all, and the NDC also dig in their heels. That is to say, they will not defy the Supreme Court, but then they will play by the book, play by the rules. So the main problem we'll be faced with is that when sitting resumes, every time they'll be raising issues of quorum. And at this time, most of the MPs, the MPP MPs, they are in the constituencies because you can see there's a wind of change. A lot of the MPs are going to lose their seats. So they are in the constituencies trying to safeguard their seats. So they may not come into Parliament. So the biggest challenge Atenyo Michael faces is how to marshal his different forces, how to bring back all these charges into the chamber. It's difficult. So the better approach is for Atenyo and his other leaders to go and negotiate with the NDC, go plead with them, cut a deal, so that the NDC would soften down the approach, go plead with the speaker, so that issues of
bottom line, you expect, and two things have been said already on the back of this. One, speaker recalls Parliament because that matter now is dead, settled by the Supreme Court. There's no confusion about majority minority. And secondly, when Parliament is recalled, you expect the speaker to direct that the MPP MPs must sit in the majority side of the aisle and the NDC sit in the minority side. You expect that to happen?
Oh, that's a given, Evan.
Okay.
That's a given.
Well, you're speaking to Murtala, you don't get the sense. You don't get the sense that it is.
Last week, it was going to be done, but they didn't have the numbers. Evans emphasized the fact that Atenyo didn't have the numbers. So they came to throw red herrings. Hey, we hear there will be fire. We hear there will be mayhem. They are all untrue.
Okay. Okay, Martin, thank you very much. And a very quick word to you, Frank Davis, on that immediate implication. We've heard the Attorney General, we've had the Fanyo Marking all say immediately this should pave the way for Parliament to be recalled. Is it as simple as that?
If you ask me, yes. I mean, at the last time that Parliament was approached to reconvene, the Speaker did the honourable thing by reconvening Parliament. I will only say that when matters happen, and it's brought to a definitive conclusion. I mean, the Supreme Court is the highest court. The Nigerian court is the apex court of the land. If the Supreme Court has handed the judgment in the matter, I don't think it lies in anybody's place for us to split heads and say this or that. I listen to the member of parliament. I think this kind of language, I mean, we should stop it. You see, that if we are not obedient of the laws of the land, how do they expect us to, I mean, to respect them as honorable members of parliament? The issue at stake was whether there was a majority or a minority caucus. I'm rather saddened that he will be on radio tonight and be telling people that there is no majority and there's no minority in parliament. Why were they themselves calling themselves majority in parliament? Why were they calling themselves majority? And now he says that there is no designated place for the majority and the minority to sit in parliament. He said this double standards and intellectual dishonesty and hypocrisy doesn't help us.
Okay. Thank you very much, Frank Davis. Thank you, Martin, Elehed Ibrahim and Mutala, who all joined us on this. We'll wait to see if parliament will be recalled by the speaker. Still here on...
Shop early, save big, all month long during Black Friday Build-Up at Lowe's. Right now, get select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at just $59.98. Don't wait to save. Shop these deals today, in-store or online. Because Lowe's knows deals. Discount taken at time of purchase while supplies last. Selection varies by location.